Three things I want to look at today. We'll do it in short order. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand." It is kind of a hard thing for people, even in the Christian church, to explain the gospel. People will say, "I believe the gospel," and people will say very simply, "Well, what is the gospel?" They'll say, "Well, it's the good news." And the good news of what? The good news of Jesus Christ. But the actual definition of the gospel is found in these chapters. What is the actual gospel? The gospel, somebody said, "Well, we got to preach the gospel." The gospel is not the entirety of the Bible. That the gospel is part of that, but it's not the entirety of the Bible. What is the gospel? The gospel is not just Jesus Christ's life. What is the gospel? And we have to look at that today. And so Paul's explaining. He says, "This is what I declare unto you, the gospel, that's what I've preached, and it's what you have received and wherein ye stand." And there's three things about the gospel we see right there. These aren't the three things that I'm really teaching today, but these are three things you should see. The gospel is both past. Notice that the tense and the words there. He says, "I preached it, ED. You received it, ED." These are things that you have gotten past. You have received these things. The gospel is past, but then it's also a very present thing. He says, which also you have received. You presently have received the gospel. You believe the gospel and you've kept that. And so it's something that was past preached to you, but all of you who have been saved for years, you received the gospel in the past, but today you still believe the gospel. Amen. But then it's also a future situation. He says, and it's also wherein ye stand. We believe once you're saved, you're always saved. And so the gospel is also where you stand futurely. Even when you mess up, even when you make a mistake, you futurely still have an inheritance and a heavenly home because of the gospel. Well, great. But what is the gospel? He says, "This gospel is by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Unless you really didn't believe it. Unless you just made some profession and you just said, "I believe it," but you didn't really get it. You got the information, but not the transformation. You got a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge. Unless you got that emptiness, if you really got it, then the gospel to you is past, present, and future, and you stand in that even today. He says, "For I declared unto you, first of all, that which I also received." Now here he begins to explain. Here's what the gospel is. If anybody ever asks you, "What is the gospel?" Here's the biblical definition. Here's what the gospel is 100%. It is this, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. It's that Jesus died for us, but watch this. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The gospel is this, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. They're past, present, and future. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross. We look back at the cross. That happened over 2,000 years ago. But we believe it. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. I believe in the old rugged cross. We believe that, right? You were not there. I was not there. But we look back and know that it's true. We believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. But then it was buried. Why is buried present situation? Because Paul says later in this chapter, he says, "I die daily. Every day my sin is buried, and even when I make a mistake, I die to self. I die daily. I protest at your rejoicing." He said, "You guys don't believe in the resurrection. You don't understand this, but I die daily." Salvation is not a license to sin. It's a daily situation that I got to deal with as long as I'm attached to this flesh. But then it's also this future hope, because he rose again the third day, which always represents to us newness of life. In Romans 4, he talks about, Romans 6, 4, he talks about walking in newness of life with Jesus Christ. We mess up, but guess what? His mercies are new. And every morning, we have this opportunity. And great is thy faithfulness. When you look here in our Bible, you see in verse 5, you see that it says, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the, this is Peter. Cephas is the apostle Peter. He was seen of him. This is a witness. This is a part of the witness. Amen. But then keep going here. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And so 500 witnesses burst out of their graves the day that Jesus rose from the grave. We see that in the Gospels. They marched into the streets of Jerusalem, but they still, some of them were still alive when Paul was writing this 30 years later. And we understand this, that because of that, if we were to go to a court of law and there were 513 witnesses and they said, hey, such and such did it, that person's going to jail, baby. Listen, if 513 people give the exact same account, the exact same thing, what were they witnesses of? The gospel. They said, we know we were in town when Jesus died on the cross. We know that he was buried. We know that he was risen because we saw the risen Savior. If 513 people said that, we'd all believe it. And that's what happened. Paul says, hey, we get it from this. But then he also says, and after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. This is James, the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus, who did not believe in Jesus, that he was the Son of God until after the resurrection. Now he believes it, and he's seen of all these apostles. He's seen of all these folks. And he says, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, but because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach. And watch this, so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also is vain. But here it is. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that, the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But here's the good thing. That would be false. We don't believe that. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Let me show you three things, three reasons why we believe the gospel. Paul states them right here very plainly. First reason we believe the gospel is because he says both times, we believe that Jesus Christ died, that he was crucified according to the scriptures. We believe that he was buried and that he was risen again according to the scriptures. The Bible has several different authors over several different continents, over several thousand years of writing. And even if they didn't understand and didn't have the New Testament, they had the Old Testament. They had the Messianic prophecies. They had Isaiah 53. They had all of this information leading them to the day. They had the prophecy of Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. They knew where he would be born in Bethlehem Ephratah. They knew how he would ride into Jerusalem on the ass of the colts in Zechariah. And so we understand that Jesus fulfilled all of those things in him because of the scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we believe because everybody that's in this room that's saved, at some point, somebody preached some word of God to you that you believed. Hey, listen, you had to accept that this man Jesus was born of a virgin like nobody's ever been born or will ever be born again. Everybody, even a test tube baby, has an earthly father. They have to have the materials to produce a baby. But Jesus, when he was born of the Holy Spirit. What's conceived in Mary was of the Holy Ghost, and so he's the only one to ever be born that way. So therefore, it's not in vain because sin passes down from the line of the Father, and because Jesus has no earthly father, Jesus has no sin. And so living 33 and a half years sinless, not born in sin like the rest of us, when we believe that through the Word of God, we only know that because of the Word of God. We understand that in verse 21, For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. When Adam and Eve sinned, God never planned on them to sin. He never planned for there to be death. But when they sinned, death came in. And then death passed upon all men. Therefore, for the wages of sin is death. And so when we see the wages of sin is death, we understand that everything we do, we deserve to die for. Every sin, our wages, what we've deserved, what we get, our punishment. But in that second part of that verse, it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Adam, we all die, but in Christ, we are all made alive. We believe that, and the only reason we believe that today is because of the Word of God. It's the Word. We don't have any other way to understand that. We don't have any other way to rationalize that. When you ask man today, when you ask people who don't believe the Bible or don't know the Bible, I was listening to a radio station the other day and they were talking about something biblical, not this necessarily, and you could just tell the people were saying, oh, well, people should just be able to do that and do this, and they had no idea. They're like, oh, well, yeah, God, he wouldn't want us to do that. God, and what they were talking about was completely false. What they were saying was completely false. They had their idea of God, but it wasn't coming from the Word. They believed what they wanted to believe about God, but it wasn't coming from the Word. And we believe, and Paul says, according to the Scriptures, because that's what the Scriptures says. We don't believe it because our grandma told us. We don't believe it because our aunt or our uncle told us. We believe them because what they told us came from the Word, not because they made it up. Hey, listen, somebody told me about Jesus when I was a little kid, but what I realize now is they weren't just making up some story about Jesus. They weren't telling me what they knew. They were telling me what they understood from the Word of God. They were telling me according to the Scriptures. Sometimes when I pray before I preach, you hear me say, Lord, help me to only speak of thus saith the Lord. Now, I might use all kinds of preaching and oral gymnastics to get to that point, but it always comes back to according to the Word. We're always going to back it up with the Scripture. We're always going to back it up with the Word of God, because if it doesn't have the Word in it, then it doesn't matter at all. So the gospel, the first reason we believe the gospel is because we believe the Word. The gospel is a portion of the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. Do you think it's coincidental that the first thing Jesus said on earth is repent and believe the gospel? Repent and believe the gospel. John the Baptist, repent and believe the gospel. Guess what? When Jesus said that, the gospel wasn't all the way fulfilled yet. He hadn't died yet. He's talking as a living person, but he knew what he was going to do. And Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel. This is the good news. And so Jesus was telling those people all along the way that I must die, that I must be given over into the hands of sinful man. And they just didn't understand it. But then once it happened, do you think that it's a shocking revelation that Thomas wouldn't believe it until he saw Jesus? You know what Thomas literally did? When he put his fingers in Jesus' hand and in his side, what Thomas had to believe was the Word of God, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He literally put his hand, his finger in the hand of the Word of God, in the side of the Word of God, and then he says, my Lord and my God, because he understood, he believed. And Jesus says, Thomas, you believe because you have seen, but blessed are those who has not have seen yet believed. That's us. Why do we believe? Jesus says, because you believe my word. I've not seen the resurrected Savior. He's never talked to me audibly. I've never got some vision or some dream, but I believe. Why do I believe? Because I believe the word of God. But then there's a second thing. But he also goes on there and talks about all these witnesses and Cephas who walked with him, and these 500 that some of them are still alive and some have fallen back asleep. And he also talks about James and the other apostles. And James didn't believe Jesus while he was walking the earth. He didn't believe his half-brother, the brother of Jude. He didn't believe until after he was resurrected. But what's the second reason that we believe the gospel? Because we believe the witness of others. Listen, one of the reasons why I believe the gospel so strongly and why I continue to be encouraged by the gospel, the word got me to the place, but the witness makes me really understand the change that's wrought in someone when they believe the gospel. When I look at other people, see, we are all witnesses, amen? And when I look at other people and how their lives have changed, when I look at myself and how my life has changed since Jesus came into my heart, that witness is something that I can look at, and it's a proof, it's an evidence. And so I believe it according to the scriptures, but I believe according to the scriptures that when somebody gets saved, they are a new creature and that old things are passed away and behold, all things are become new. And so when I start to watch people live their life, that's a witness. We are all witnesses of what we believe about the Word of God. Why do I believe the gospel so strongly? Because I've seen people's lives changed. I've seen people who used to be this better than they used to be. And I'm not as good as I'm ever going to get, I hope, but I'm better than I ever was. Amen. And I think this, that's a witness. When you watch people's lives change, when you find people who you saw them way over here and all of a sudden they got saved and Jesus came in and now they're this and they're that and they're this. Listen, there are people that you and I know that you never thought were going to be serving the Lord. There are people that you and I know you never thought they were going to be singing How Great Thou Art. But when they believe the gospel according to the scriptures, now they have that witness. And you know what it took for them to get there? Here's what I know. Most lost people just don't pick up their Bible and start reading it. Most people who don't believe don't go, you know, I think I'll pick up that best-selling author, Jesus Christ, and read his book. Most people have to be nudged into Bible reading. And what I've learned about this, especially in this culture, most people don't come. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. But that faith, notice it says faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't say by reading. Paul was not, they didn't have the written Word of God when Paul was writing that to everywhere, mass production. And so he's saying, what was Paul saying? He said, it's going to take for us to witness about it. Because they just can't get it. And even though in our world today there's access to the Word of God, most people who don't have any knowledge or any care about the things of God just don't read their Bible. Oh, let me talk about something real quick. Most Christians just don't read their Bible. So the fact that we would go, well, you know, our neighbors, we have more access to the Bible than we've ever had. Yeah, we do, and Christians won't even read it. People who say they believe the gospel according to the scriptures won't read their Bible on a daily basis. They talk about, I need my daily bread, but they won't ever read it. Now watch. So then why would we think that lost people would read it? You know what it's going to take? It's going to take for us to go out and grow. Hello, I'm Bryson from Assurance Baptist Church. Have you ever heard of Jesus Christ? Can I tell you about him? And I'm not going to tell you about Jesus in the way I want to. I'm going to tell you what Jesus does in the Word of God. And so that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. They didn't read it. It's because somebody told them. And you know what that is? That's a witness. Because I'm witnessing. Sometimes I don't even get to the Bible until I'm really far into witnessing. Because all I'm doing at the beginning is just telling them what Jesus has done for me. I'm just telling them how good Jesus has been to me. I just start telling them, listen, I didn't get saved until I was 22 years old, and I was this, and I was that, and I was everything wrong. But when Jesus came into my heart, when Jesus saved my little sorry self, when he did what he did for me, I started to change, and this started to happen. Then I picked up my Bible, and I read, and it took that. And listen, I'm just witnessing what Jesus did for me before I ever get to the Romans Road, before I ever get to John 3:16, and then I back it up with those things. But listen, the witness, remember what he says at the end? He said, it was according to the Word, and it was according to these witnesses that you have believed this gospel. They work together. Oh, Christian, let me tell you. I hope you read your Bible, but if you read your Bible, it's not enough. There's still going to be a necessary witness. You're still going to have to testify about this book. If you really believe this book so strongly, then what you believe about it is you also believe that if you really believe that Christ be risen from the dead and he's the first fruits of them that sleep, you believe that anybody in anywhere from any place can accept that Jesus Christ is Lord, but they have to hear because you all said it, Romans 10:17, because faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the Word of God. But if they never hear it, how could they accept it? Paul says, you've believed because of what we've preached. And it won't be enough. Oh, Lord, can the preacher have a little sad spell? I wish that we could all get all of our lost friends and family here every Sunday when we preach, because I know I'm going to preach the gospel. But how often do they actually come? It's hard to get somebody to come to church, isn't it? So you know what's going to have to happen is it can't just be saved for the preacher, for the pastor. We all have to be preachers. We all have to be heralds. We can't wait for them to come and get the word of God because most people aren't going to do that. We have to go give them the word of God. You can't just expect to show up and just say, all right, we'll put a sign out in front of the church. I tried this. We're just going to put a sign up and say we have a church here and we just expect hundreds of people to come. It didn't work. Still doesn't work. Every once in a while, somebody might drive by and say, I'm going to check it out. But on a regular basis, you know what we got to do? We got to put out Facebook posts. We got to go door to door. We got to call. We got to send letters in the mail. We got to talk to people at our restaurants. We got to leave tracks wherever we go. I leave tracks at the gas station. I don't know if it's illegal or not, but whenever I go to the gas station and they got those signs up there where you can see like what they've got on sale or whatever, I just put a track up there and I say, the next person that's come through, they're going to see what we got going on at church. Amen. And whatever it is. But we have to make sure that we're a witness. I got a call a few years ago, one of the kids from our church, we were talking about, I do the pastor challenge, where the pastor challenges us to hand out three tracts a day or whatever it is, and one of the kids in church, he took it for serious. He said, I'm going to hand out all these tracts. And I got a call from the public library, and they said, hey, could you tell your congregation to stop putting tracts in the books? Every single book that we have taken back, there's been a tract in it. I said, sure, I'll do that. I never told the kid. I don't know which kid it is. They didn't tell me. I don't know. I'm like, I never said a word. I was like, I can't get in trouble if I don't know who it is. I ain't no snitch. Amen. And so I said, keep it up. Amen. So everybody that was getting a library book was getting an Assurance Baptist Church track. Amen. And you know what's on the Assurance Baptist Church track? The Word of God. Amen. Oh, see, listen, I know my pretty pictures on the back, but before you see all that, you see the Word of God. And you know why the picture's on there? Because that picture is supposed to be that there's the Word of God, but then there's also a witness. This person is living his life in this way, and we can see him in the public and in the community, and we go, okay, this is that. I put my wife on there with me because then it gives me a better witness because they go, well, she probably wouldn't get on there if he was trifling and he was raggedy. And so she put his picture on there too because women don't really trust men, so we put her on there so that they have somebody they can trust. Amen? And so we work in duo in that, in tandem in that. And so it's not just one witness's face, it's two witnesses' face, and then you got the Word of God. Listen, it's important that the Word is what we use. It's according to the Word, but let me tell you, it's also according to our witness that the gospel is believed. You believe the gospel, but there's a lost and dying world that has not believed it, and it's our responsibility, it's our job to preach it to them. And Paul says, the reason why you believe this, watch this, verse 11, therefore, whether or I or they, whether it was because you got it through the Word of God, which they weren't, because again, they didn't have the Word of God just in text for them, but somebody told them, he says, whether it was Cephas and James and the apostles or those 500, or whether it was me, he says, didn't matter, however it was, so we preached this gospel, and so ye believed. But then there's this third one. This is probably the one that's the greatest for me at this point. You know, there's the Word of God, it's according to the Word of God, it's according to the witness, but it's also according to the witness that's in us. You know, there's a witness in us, the Bible says. That in us, there's this witness, like, there's this truth in us. You look at 1 John chapter 5. You don't have to go back to Corinthians. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Way back in the back of your Bible there, 1 John chapter 5. Watch what the Bible says here. There's a witness in us, isn't there? We're going to look at the first verse here. I'm going to read several verses. Isn't there a witness in us? I mean, your conscience is what it is. But if you're really saved, you know you're really saved. If you're really saved, you just know you're saved. Amen? You don't got to guess. You don't got to ask. When I ask that question, do you know if you died today that you would for sure you would go to heaven? If you're really saved, you hallelujah. I know I'm going, and you don't know you're going because you're good or because you've been baptized or because you sang the songs or because you were in the choir, because you served in the nursery, because you watered the plants of the church. You know you're going because you're saved, because you've believed the gospel, because somebody preached it to you, because you read it, because you know that faith came by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and you accepted that on the principle of Christ and Christ alone and his righteousness being imputed unto you. You knew you were a whosoever, and one day you called upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. And those who are saved by the power of God are kept by the power of God. And you understood that, and you get that, and you understood it in the past, you understand in the present, and you understand futurely when Jesus says, oh, I love this verse. When Jesus says, listen, there, in my Father's house, there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, and I go, and if I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas said, we don't know how you get there. What's the way, Lord? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. When you understood that, then that's a future promise, because I don't got my mansion yet, but I know I'm headed there. It's got marble floors and golden streets, and it's got a big jacuzzi pool in the back. I couldn't swim on earth, but I can do breaststroke in heaven. Come on now. And somebody said, we don't know what we have to eat in heaven. It doesn't matter, because I know this much. If the Lord made it, it tastes good. And so if he got a mansion up there for me, it's got a heated garage and 4 and 5 of cars, and there ain't nowhere to fish in heaven. And so I don't know what I'm going to do with my pastime, but I think if I read my Bible right, all I'm going to do is praise the Lord, and I'm going to have church every single day. I tell people all the time, if you don't like church down here, then you really don't want to go to heaven, because in heaven, all we're going to do, it says from one Sabbath to the next, all we're going to do is praise the Lord. I don't know what kind of songs they sing. Don't really matter to me. Pastor Humbert talked about all they say is holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. I don't know what we sing or what we do, but when I get up there, I'm going to act a plumb fool. You act like you don't know your pastor, because I'm going to be a new fool in heaven. Every time I walk across here, I said, did you see Jesus? Have you been to the king's house? Have you seen my mansion? Praise the Lord. I saw the light. How great thou art. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Oh, I'm going to come over here. I'm going to sing some of those new songs. I'm going to say, shout to the Lord. All the earth, let them sing. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to sing, yes, I will. I count on one thing, the same God that never fails. I'm going to go over here and say, I trust in God. I see him in his face right now. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to say, the goodness of God. I'm going to sound just like CeCe in heaven. All I'm saying to you is, when I get there, I believe it, because I believe this gospel in its present, it was past, and its future. But look at 1 John chapter 5. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Look what it says. This witness is in us. Why do I believe all that? Why do I accept all that? Because the witness, it was given to me through the word of God. It was given to me by other witnesses. But now the witness is in me. I firmly believe this. I believe this as much as I believe my name is Bryson Ray Thompson. I believe this just as much as my wife's name is Chandra Mae Thompson. I believe this just as much as I believe my kid's name. I believe this just as much as I believe our church name. I believe this deep down inside of me. I know, because I know, because I know. He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Oh, Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you that you must be born again. I know I'm born again. I know I got a new name written down in heaven. I know that I've been regenerated, washed by the blood, and filled with the Spirit. And everyone that loveth him begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Here's the witness in us. By this, we guess. By this, we think. By this, we're kind of sure. By this, we hope. Oh, no, 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 no. If you're reading like I'm reading in the King James, it says this. By this, we know. When I know something, I just know it. I know 2 + 2 = 4. Now, in this new math, they may have changed it, but the way I grew up, it's still 4. I know my ABCs. Every Thursday at our preschool, we sing, and at the end, every little kid in there says, now I know my ABCs. Some of them don't even know it, but they know the song. I don't know what LLP is. I don't know what that is, but that's what they said. But it says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. I wasn't very good at keeping commandments until I got saved. I wasn't real good at keeping commandments until I got saved. I'm just going to be honest. You may have thought you were good at keeping commandments until you got saved, but so did the rich young ruler. Huh. He couldn't even go in. Jesus says, it's easier for a camel to get his butt through a needle than for you, for a rich man to get into heaven. So by this we know. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And that's future. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Oh, but didn't we say faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? And the way that we get faith is because we believe the gospel, because of the word, because of the witness, and the witness which is in us, because we know who we are, and somebody said, and whose we are. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Watch this. Go down to verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And these are the three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, watch this, but watch this, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He said this, listen, it's good that we receive the witness of men, that other people believe in God, but when we receive that witness in ourselves, that's even better, isn't it? That's why you hear me say all the time, your grandmama can't tell you that you got saved. Your mama can't tell you that you got saved. The Pope can't tell you that you got saved. You got to know. The witness of man is fine, but the witness inside yourself is greater. He says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. See, we have the witness in ourselves, because this is the record, and it's true, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you. This is why our church is named this verse. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. We know it, don't we? Oh, the gospel, sometimes as mature Christians, we kind of just play around like the gospel is just this little thing. And you've heard me say to it, you should preach the gospel to yourself every day. Why? Because we believe that Jesus died on the cross according to the scriptures. We believe that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. We believe that because it comes from the word of God, but we also believe from the witness. Whoever told you first about Jesus, whether you accepted it that day or not, what they were doing was witnessing to you. And eventually, whether you ever told them or not, you agreed with that witness. And then when you got saved, the witness became inside of you, the Holy Spirit, and you started to see the change. You started to see your walk right. You see your talk right. You see your act right. You see all the things that were different about you. You might have started to dress different. You might have started doing something. You know, back in the day, before I was saved, I used to bust the sag. Y'all know what that is? You know, the brothers that wear their pants all low, you know what I mean, where you can see your drawers. When I was young, my daddy didn't like it. So when I left for school, I had to have my belt on all the way up. But as soon as I got out of the house and I got down, I let my little sag. Oh, boy. I was cooler than a polar bear's toenail, boy. Cooler than the other side of the pillow. I'd be walking with that sag like the rest of them boys. You know, they call that the pimp walk. You know, I'd be doing like this. Oh, I was cool. My daddy said, you can't get your ears pierced. And one day when I was 16 years old, you only had to be 16 to get your ears pierced at Walmart. One day when I was 16 years old, I went to a Walmart. I had my license, and I got my left ear pierced. And I came home. My dad said, oh, I already have a daughter. I said, oh, man, I ain't worried about you. And then when I was 18, I got my other ear pierced. And, oh, I was cool. I was walking. Ears pierced. And back then, the brothers don't do it as much now, but you used to get a part in your head. You know what I'm talking about? Boy, I had a part. I had waves. And then you get three cuts in your eyebrows trying to wild out. They put the little three cuts in their eyebrows. That's how we used to do back in the late 90s and early 2000s. Oh, I was cool. I was up there at Wright State. They called me Gangster B. They did. That was my nickname. I'm walking. Oh, but one day I got saved. One day, Jesus came in. And he said, not audibly, but I could almost understand. He said, now listen now, I want you to pick your pants up, because that ain't for everybody to see. That's for the one I'm going to give you. And do you know, about 4 or 5 months later, the one that was given to me is still my wife today. Somebody said hallelujah. And even though my ears are still pierced, and my daughters love when I put my earrings in, they say, Daddy, you got your earrings in. I don't wear them all the time because I don't need them no more. I ain't trying to be cool. I'm not trying to do nothing. Listen, if I could get a part in my hair, I probably would, but I ain't got no hair to put a part in, so I probably wouldn't change that. Listen, I don't pimp walk no more. I walk back because I got older. Amen. It might look like I'm doing that, but that ain't why I'm doing that. But listen, when I got saved, things changed about me, because I believe the word of God, because I believe the witness of God, and I believe the witness that's in me. And this is why we believe the gospel, and why we must preach the gospel, and why we must live the gospel, because this is exactly what Jesus died for, what he was buried for, and he rose for. That's the definition of the gospel. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful we have an opportunity.